welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders Podcast Series. The goal of this podcast is to bring semiconductor experts together to get to the truth about the matter at hand. We'll get right to the point and not exceed 30 minutes of your time. If you have a topic you would like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. Good morning. With me today is my podcast partner, Mike Gianfagna. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dan.
Our guest today is Matt Burns. Matt is Technical Marketing Manager at Samtech. Matt was on Podcast 7. We talked about signal integrity challenges faced by the systems designers. Today, we will highlight the emerging importance of high-performance interconnect selection early in the design cycle. But first, Matt, tell us, you know, what brought you to the interconnect business? You know, it doesn't seem to be as sexy, and it's not front page news like the chip business, but clearly it's critical. So what brought you?
First of all, good morning to you, Dan, and to you, Mike. And secondly, that's why we're here on this podcast, is to make high performance interconnect front page news, Dan and Mike. So we're happy to have the opportunity to chat about it. Working in interconnect, it was sort of a career path that presented itself probably about 10, 12 years ago, mainly because I wanted to get into technical marketing at my previous employer. And after I kind of popped the hood on, you know, all the high tech and innovation that was being done within the interconnect industry, you know, I'm glad that the opportunity presented itself. And ever since then, I've sort of embraced it. It's really unique seeing what's being done, not only at Samtech, but also the industry as a whole in response to bleeding edge technology rates. And having an opportunity to work in what some may view as, you know, electromechanical or more industrial, and that's really the roots of the interconnect industry. So, you know, some of that viewpoint is valid. But in reality, over the last 5 to 10 years, the interconnect industry has really helped to spearhead, you know, next generation performance at the channel level. And being a part of that, you know, was something that's intriguing, and it's been very rewarding having been involved with it over the last 12 years or so.
Yeah, I agree completely. Leading edge design is a challenge, and boy, you had better have everything thought out from start to finish to make sure everything works. But tell us specifically, why is interconnect selection so important in bleeding edge system architectures when you're first doing your chip?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Dan. And I think why it's pertinent to ask that is, you know, when you think about legacy system design, you know, going back, you know, 10, 20 years, maybe, you know, to the dawn of the internet revolution. You know, when system designers were looking at high speeds, obviously the focus was on how fast does my processor, you know, run. And, you know, I think, Dan, you and Mike and I have talked about how the megahertz wars of the 90s really jump-started the PC internet revolution. At those types of data rates, you know, interconnect was sort of an afterthought. And it's like, all right, let's design the PC, let's design the memory interface, let's design the I/O. Oh, by the way, we need to add some connectors to this thing. And then at the last minute, the mechanical engineer went out to the interconnect manufacturers and was able to find the solution that fit what's necessary. You know, but you know, after after system data rates jump from, you know, megabits per second up to gigabits per second, you know, that design approach, it just wasn't sustainable. And, you know, the system designers, the electrical engineers, the signal integrity experts quickly realized that understanding how signals got from point A to point B through whatever path it may be, you know, whether it's going through a connector, whether it's going through a cable, whether it's actually going through the package of the IC, that all had to be considered to get the system level performance that was demanded by the industry. You know, today we see it being led by data center, cloud connectivity, 5G, things like that. So, you know, over the last several years, especially, you know, in the last handful of years, the interconnect industry, Samtech, our competitors, find ourselves being pulled into, you know, design discussions at the concept phase. And, you know, that didn't happen overnight, but it's been a quick change of pace. You know, system designers, system architects are realizing, hey, I've got a great piece of silicon that runs at 112 gigabit per second or 224 gigabit per second. I've only got a certain amount of loss budget that I have to attain to make sure that my signals get from my transmitter to my receiver what interconnect is going to enable me to do that within the system architecture that I need? So I think that overall trend is really forcing the industry, forcing OEMs, forcing designers to engage with high-performance interconnect companies like Samtec when they're interfacing with their IP providers or their semiconductor providers.
Thanks, Matt. That's a great setting for how this is all happening and the changes that are occurring. So with that as a backdrop, what technology trends are affecting Samtec's R&D activities? You know, what do you really pay attention to here? What's important?
Well, you know, I think we alluded to some of that there's a lot of technology trends that we see that are affecting the industry, right? 5G rollout is happening, has been happening, and will continue to be happening, not only for by the provider networks, but we're going to start seeing, you know, privatized 5G, O-RAN, those types of things. That's affecting just about every industry that we play in. You know, we kind of joke that there's an insatiable need for data, and that's true, right? Data center architectures continue to evolve, they continue to expand. It seems like there's a data center on almost every city block. That's an exaggeration, but it highlights the point. Increasingly, though, I think one of the things that's driving us is the never-ending increase of channel data rates. You know, right now we see a lot of 56 gigabit per second channel rates on the market. We have designs ongoing for 112 gigabit per second PAM4 performance. Silicon has been released over the last year or two that supports that, whether that's FPGAs or Ethernet switches or the transceivers on CPUs or GPUs. And then, you know, the industry is starting slowly but surely starting to look at, okay, I've got 112 I'm working on now. We'll be releasing that over the next year or two. What's after that? And the evolution of the industry is to 224 gigabit per second and faster. A lot of things have to kind of come in line to support 224 gigabit per second performance on a channel data rate. You know, that has all along the design cycle that has to be fine tuned. So that focus on how do we get from 112, which has been extremely difficult, how do we get to 224 as an industry? So, you know, Samtec, our competitors, the semiconductor folks, the EDA companies, the test and measurement guys, you know, the standard specialists, they're all looking at that. And, you know, that's probably the biggest focus that we have from an R&D standpoint looking out over the next several years is how do we collectively bring all of our solutions to get up to more than 200 gigabit per second per channel?
Okay, those numbers start to give me a headache, actually. So I understand that the challenge. Yeah. No kidding. Yeah. So with that, let's double click a little bit. So with those incredible speeds, what are some of the technical challenges that Samtec is facing? Like if I'm designing a chip, you know, I have a fairly good understanding of things like metal migration and power dissipation and routing and this kind of thing. What is it that keeps you guys up at night? What are the technical challenges to get there at a, I don't know, with either materials or a physical level or however you want to describe it?
Well, I think that leads into the challenges that not only we face, but also the industry as a whole face, Mike, is that in essence, it all matters, right? Going back to the PC days, it was almost like as long as I have the silicon doing what I need it to do, everything else you could figure out on the fly. With these bleeding edge data rates, these next generation data rates, everything has to be considered. So you mentioned what has to happen at the die level, but you know decisions have to be made as how to package that, right? How do I minimize the loss getting from the die to the wire bond to the pin on my package or through the bottom of it through the substrate, you know, to the BGA. You know, once it gets to the PC, you know, once it gets to the BGA, how do I break that signal out on my PCB? You know, where do I place the via? You know, you can go along the whole signal chain from that perspective. In addition, you know, when it comes to interconnect design, you know, Samtec looks at it from multiple perspectives. How do we design our board to board connectors? How do we design our cable, our raw cable and our cable assemblies, especially for TwinX differential pairs? You know, how do we enable test, you know, breaking signals out from a from a piece of die or to an IC to some sort of RF connector that attaches to a piece of test equipment, you know, VNA or TDR or whatever the case may be, right? And then once I figure out all that, how do I manufacture that for high volume? So there's a ton of technical challenges that the industry is facing. There's a ton of technical challenges that Samtech is facing. You also mentioned, you know, from a material perspective, right? What's the best material for my semiconductor packaging? What's the best material for my PCB material? What's the best material for the plastics I use on my connector? You know, what's the best metal that I use on the pins on my interconnect, right? Are those materials readily available? You know, we've all talked about supply chain issues with raw materials. That's also mm-hmm. going to affect some of the innovation, some of the R&D that we work in. One of the challenges, one of the other things I think we mentioned too is, you know, going back to manufacturing is I've talked with a lot of our specialists internally, and a lot of the work that's being done there is how are we going to control the precision at the manufacturing level? And when I say precision is, you know, connectors are getting faster, but they're also getting denser. So, you know, a lot of our common connectors are 0.635 millimeter pin to pin spacing, but you know, when you get down to 0.5, 0.4, 0.3 and even smaller, it's going to be interesting to see how not only Samtech but the industry handles that such fine precision, but also getting the performance there. In addition to the pins, you know, how do I control the density of my plastics when I'm reflowing it, right? How do I control the stack up of multi connector applications? How do I control the material properties, you know, the dielectric of a PCB material uniformly across a PCB, right? So I'm kind of getting into the nuts and bolts a little bit too much, but I think it illustrates the point of the question that you ask is all of this is an unknown, especially at 224. And it's requiring a interesting mixture of material scientists, mechanical engineers, cable manufacturing, optical engineers, electrical engineers, SI engineers, et cetera, et cetera. So we're finding that we have to invest in a lot of areas. We have to look at these challenges on a case-by-case basis and really see how they all kind of tie together to come up with the right, not only the right solution, but the right product for the right application. There's no one, you know, I wish there was a magic silver bullet, but there isn't. So we have to work together. We have to work on this collectively, holistically, but we also have to engage our partners. You know, we're working with leading semiconductor companies. We're working with EDA / IP providers. We're working with, you know, leading test and measurement folks in the industry. And it's all tied together to reach that goal of how do we enable 224. One other thing I'll mention, mm-hmm. but that's crucial is the role that the standards bodies plays in this as well. You know, IEEE, OIF, the MSAs, the QSFP consortium, the OSFP consortium, et cetera. There was the industry coalesced around a coding scheme of PAM4 at 56 gigabit and the same at 112 gigabit. There's still a lot of work going on to figure out what's the best coding scheme. Is it PAM6? Is it PAM8? You know, is that ubiquitous across the network, or, you know, do I put PAM6 and copper and PAM8 and optics and PAM4 here? You know, so there's a lot of work that needs to be done and continue to be done. Samtech's playing in all areas to help us get to that point.
Okay. So this was good discussion about, you know, poking at some of the challenges and some of the things that you're doing to combat those challenges. So that was a good overview. Yeah. There's one piece, though, that I'd like to just poke at a little bit more, and that's the software piece. It's not just physical issues around material science and configuration and density, but tell us a little bit about the role that the models play, the software plays. You mentioned partners earlier, EDA partners, IP partners. How important is that, and how does that factor into the whole process when Samtech is designed in, like the models you provide and the enablement for software analysis of systems that include Samtech products?
Yeah, and that's a great question, Mike. I probably didn't do that justice on the previous question, but you're exactly right. You know, one of the things that we've talked about, or we've kind of joked about internally, you know, one of the popular trending terms, you know, in 2022 is the metaverse, right? And what does that mean? And one of the things that we've seen, at least in some of the initial conversations we've had, is a lot, there's going to be a lot more virtual design or digital design before you actually get into real world design, right? And if you really think about it, I think that Samtech and, you know, a lot of the EDA companies have been at the forefront of the metaverse without maybe not even know that they're in the metaverse, if that makes sense. What do I mean by that? There's always going to be a virtual design component of high-speed design. There's always going to be a modeling. There's always going to be a simulation part of design, just because of all the iterations you have to go through when it comes to some of the design criteria or some of the design challenges I mentioned on the previous question. You know, how do I model my connector? What's my pin? What's the optimal pin to pin width? What's the optimal material selection? You know, how do I optimize the PCB layout? You know, so when it comes to the software side, when it comes to the modeling side, Samtech offers, you know, S parameters of specific, you know, of components along a particular signal chain. That may be an S parameter of a mated connector. But we also work with our partners to help model the entire signal, you know, the entire signal chain. So we might marry a mated connector set S parameter with an S parameter of a PCB with an S parameter of the packaging of the IC, and then add an IBIS model, either the front end or the back end, and then build that channel from a modeling standpoint, and then simulate that model, right? That enables us to see how our connectors work in the virtual world, and then what adjustments we can make to do that. And then taking that, you know, one step above, once we have, you know, a good model electrically, we need to look at it from a multi-physics standpoint. So we want to put it into 3D solvers, if you will. So Samtech works with some of the leading solving companies to offer completely 3D solved models of the connector when looking at from a multi-physics standpoint. How does it work electrically? How does it work mechanically? How does it work thermally? So we provide not only the S parameters, but also the solved models, make them available for customers. And we also, we try to make those available via industry leading providers for simulation. You know, the S parameters are sort of an industry standard file format. So any type of simulation tool that uses those, you know, RS model, RS parameter models can fit into relatively easily. Some of the 3D solvers, they're not quite as, you know, they're a lot more complex in terms of how the software and the simulation, the modeling is being done. So it's almost vendor specific in terms of how the models are built, but we make those available on a case by case basis to enable it. And if we don't, our customers are gonna have to do it anyway, or they're gonna go to someone else that is offering those connector models, those cable models, or those PCB models, or whatever the case may be. So you're exactly right, Mike. It's such a core essential part of the, you know, the virtual design or the digital twin design before you get into the real world applications that it's necessary to consider that. The other addition too is that it allows us to use those tools when offering customer support. So customers get our S parameter files, they get our 3D solve models, they start doing the simulation, the modeling, and the testing in their tool flow. And we're able to recreate that using the same tools and then offer suggestions to enable them to get their solution fine-tuned to how it needs to be. So it's really a cool area. We see it evolving very quickly, and you know, we continue to invest not only in the tools but also in the talent that's necessary to, you know, push the design forward, but also from a customer support standpoint as well.
Matt, it's interesting. You really, in this current world, if you're playing in the semiconductor and technology ecosystem, you're never alone. You can't be a lone actor. It's always a collaboration between multiple partners, and not just the supplier and the customer, but you mentioned several other people in that supply chain that need to collaborate for a successful design. So it's kind of an interesting thing, and maybe the metaverse is a good way to describe it, but the collaboration piece is so critical to get any of this stuff to actually work.
I couldn't agree with you more, Mike. Yeah, we find that to be the case here at Samtech. And, you know, oftentimes the partners we're working with are also engaged with our combined customers doing exactly that. So it can't be stated enough. You're exactly right.
Great. Hey, guys, let's close this out with Matt. Can you give us a quick pitch on Samtech solutions and services that help customers address these challenges at the bleeding edge? Just a quick pitch before we close out.
So, Dan, that's a great question. We appreciate you allowing us to have that. At its core, at our core, Samtech is a high-performance interconnect solutions provider. So we offer a very broad, very wide portfolio of interconnect solutions operating at 112 GPM4, including front panel, mid-board, backplane, copper, cable assemblies, and test features at 112 GPM4. We also continue to invest in high-performance interconnect solutions, same applications, front panel, mid-board, backplane, operating at 224 as well. We back that up with industry-leading tech support via our signal integrity group. We have signal integrity engineers that reside around the world offering 24/7, 365 support to our customers of any size, whether a tier one down to a startup. Your listeners can reach out to Samtech on our website at samtech.com, or they can email our technical experts at sig@samtech.com.
Thanks, Matt. And I appreciate your time. Thanks, Mike. And we'll talk to you guys again next week. Have a good day.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks, Mike. Have a great day.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening and have a great day.